All right, Exodus chapter 13. If you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand to our feet. And we'll read there in verse 17 and read down to verse 22 and bring the message that the Lord has laid on our hearts tonight. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth unto encamped into Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and at night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and in night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14 and verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did to tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blessings of the reading of God's Word. We thank you for the songs that were sung tonight, Father, the visitors that we have, the members alike. We pray now, God, you'd open our eyes and our hearts. And Father, you'd show us tonight exactly where we are with you. And God, that Jesus would be magnified and exalted and lifted up above anyone and everyone. And Father, tonight we'd bow our hearts and bow our heads. God, we'd submit to your will and to your way. God, that we'd know tonight when we leave this place that we met with God. God, change us for your glory. God, move into our lives that God will be different when we leave. We love and appreciate you now. Make the Word of God be more clear. God, that we may make application with it to our lives. God, that we may be different when we leave than when we came. God, Father, walking with God in more wisdom and with more gratefulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now here in chapter 13, we find that we've just came out of chapter 12. Now, chapter 12 is a great chapter talking about the Passover that was instituted. And we've been preaching all through Exodus here, and so we're not going to go back there, but we're just going to say this evening that Israel now has been redeemed. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? They have been put, the Bible said, God told them on the last plague that they're going to take this lamb, and each congregation would have a lamb, and they would take that blood, and they would apply that blood on the doorpost. And then when God would come by, he would look upon that doorpost, and he said, if I saw the blood, he said, I'll pass over. Amen? And so we find that salvation, deliverance has taken place. I want to know, number one tonight, the great salvation that God has showed forth the people of Israel. The great salvation. We're not talking about something little. We're not talking about something insignificant. We're not talking about something that just can be told in a day's story, or something that we can just bypass or lightly esteem. We're talking about a great salvation. Our salvation tonight is a great salvation. It's not something at all tonight that ought to be looked at as being everybody or anybody. No, no, no. Only the redeemed shall say so. Amen. Tonight, only the people that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb can look to the Lord and say, my God, my Savior and my Lord. Tonight, this great salvation, number one, is God's command. And God's command. Look at chapter 5 for just a moment as we take a look at what Pharaoh has to say concerning letting the people go. The Bible says, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go?" Now that's what Pharaoh's saying. But look into our text in chapter 13 and there in verse 17. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go." Why did he let people go? It was a command of the Lord. That's why. The first question in chapter 5 is, "Who is the Lord that I should hear or listen to let him go?" And now in chapter 13, he let the children of Israel go. Why? It was a command, amen? And it was God's command, "Let my people go." You know, when you got saved, it was a command, amen? It was the command of the Lord. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It was a command. You called, he saved, amen? I think of this tonight. I think of the devil. I think of the devil in Colossians chapter 1, when the Bible says that you were translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It was a command. The day you got redeemed, the day you repented and received Christ Jesus as your Savior, that great salvation said in the command of God, "Devil, let him go." And friend, that's what took place. He had to let him go. I think tonight of death. I think tonight the Bible says there in John chapter 5 that it talks about you come from death unto life. And I think and I believe tonight that when you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and that great salvation came upon you by the grace of God, friend, it was God said, "Death, let him go." It was a command of the Lord. I think about Lazarus tonight. I think about Lazarus when he came in. And as he saw Lazarus, as they brought Lazarus, he was wrapped with grave clothes. The Bible said he had a napkin over his face. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And the grave will let you go one day. It'll be a command. Oh, the great salvation. Hail tonight. All of us were the child of the devil. Every one of us were headed to the place called hell. Every one of us was doomed and damned to the lake of fire. Oh, but the great salvation, the command was, "Hail, let him go." Woo! A great salvation, God's command. I'm sorry, excuse me for getting just a little excited over that. I got excited this morning, and I'm still in that excitement mode. "Let my people go," God's command. But then, let my people go, it was God's control. I mean, if you go back into the plagues, you go back when He turned the water to the blood, defeating the gods of Egypt of water. The frogs, the lice, the flies, the death of the livestock, the murrain, the boils, the hail, the locust, the darkness, death of everyone except those who had the blood over the doorpost. All that was the control of the Lord, amen? He's in complete control of every false god, complete control of every heart of the king, complete control of every government, of every fiend, of every foe, of every enemy. And friend, your great salvation was the control of our great God. You didn't get saved because you got saved. You got saved because He saved you. All of us were depraved. All of us tonight were dead in sin. All of us tonight was born of iniquity. All of us tonight had no hope and no help. And all of us tonight in flesh was the place where we're damned and doomed. And yet because of God's control, control of what? Control that He sent His Son. Control that His Son died. Control that He was buried. Control that He resurrected. Control that He ascended. Control He's coming back. Control if you receive Him, He'll be your Lord and Savior. Control, He's Lord. He's Lord, friend, whether you believe it or not. And we find that these people, the children of Israel, have come to the place of their great salvation, not because of God's command, because of God's control. Thirdly, because of God's compassion. I notice in chapter 2, in verse 23, back into Exodus. Turn there with me tonight. The people of Israel, the children of Israel, began to cry out to God in verse 23. Verse 24, it says, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They cried, and they cried. Their cry came up to God by the reason of bondage, and God heard their groaning. God remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. That's compassion. Chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible said chapter 3 of Exodus, and there verse 7, look at that. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out, to bring them up out of the land unto a good and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, the place where the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. I also have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. That's compassion. Chapter 6, verse 6, we see tonight. The Bible says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from underneath the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from underneath the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you into a land concerning thee which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I'll give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Can I say to you tonight that this great salvation that Israel found in the deliverance of Egypt, it was completely God's command and God's control and God's compassion. Can I say to you tonight, in the salvation that you've experienced in the blood of Jesus Christ, it's the same. It's completely by the grace of God. Completely by God so loved the world that the day that He had compassion on you, He was in charge. He made command, hell, let Him go. Grave, let Him go. Death, let Him go. Sin, let Him go. You say, what do you mean by sin? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. And friend, there was a day when God said to sin, let Him go. That's right. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we continue? Oh, there's a day when God said, let Him go. We find salvation, the great salvation. Now, as we look into our text in chapter 13, and there in verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. That's that great, great salvation. But I want to notice secondly tonight, I want you to notice the great preparation. You see, when you get saved, when you get delivered, you're just not thrown out here. I mean, Jesus said this. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But then He goes on to say that when you preach to them and they get saved, baptize them. They said, not just baptize them, but teach them. Disciple them. That's the way Jesus said to do it. So friend, God, in the mindset of Israel, is at the place where Israel just got delivered. And look, let's read the verse. Boy, I like this verse. He says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. He led them not that way. He says, and although that there was near, for God said, now listen to what God said about the people who just got delivered, that just came out of Egypt. Egypt always represents the world. Just came out of the world. He said, lest, peradventure, that the people repent. We around here know exactly what that word means. And when they see war, they return to Egypt. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Being saved out of the world, there's not an opportunity to go back into the world. Dogs do that. They go back to the vomit. Hogs do that. They go back to the mire. Oh, but God said, I deliver them with my command and my control and my compassion. And I am going to lead them in such a way that they're going to look at war, but they see war, they just might repent and go back into Egypt. And so I've got to do something with my people. And that's what God does with everybody who ever gets saved. That's why I believe you can't go back, because God won't let you. He didn't let Israel, and He won't let you neither. I want you to notice, number one, the great preparation is His wisdom. See, He knows where to lead us. He knew where to lead Israel here. He said, I'm not going to lead them through the way of the land of Philistines. I'm not going to do that. I could. I could do it very easily, but I'm not. So He knows how to lead us. Not only that, but why He leads us. There's a reason why God didn't do it that way. There's a why and a reason why God leads you where He leads you tonight. And Fred, everybody is saved and born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and Jesus Christ is your Lord tonight. He's leading you. He's leading you into places. He's leading you to churches. He's leading you to people. He's leading you to ministries. He's leading you in life. He's leading you to jobs. He's leading you to spouses. He's leading you, Fred, to the places that you ought to go and do. And Fred, there's a reason behind it tonight. None of us are where we are tonight by accident. None of us are part of this church tonight, and nobody didn't show up tonight because you just happened to come by tonight because you had a free night and you wanted to come by the church. Friend, there's something about what God does in leadership. I don't believe that. I don't believe tonight, as a child of God, you're in control. I believe God is. So we find why He leads us, and He finds how He leads us, and we find, number one, that God knows. Now listen to me tonight. God knows that everyone that He just delivers, everyone He just saves, is not ready for war. Amen? You're not ready for war. I mean, if you get saved tonight and you go out into this world, you're not ready for war. You just got saved. And friend, there's a lot of people that we know. We can go around, we knock on people's doors, and we pass out tracts, and we tell people about Jesus Christ, and we say, okay, you know, get saved, get born again. And other crowds out there just say, pray after me. We don't do that, but they say, pray after me. And all of a sudden, they come back, and they put all these notches on their belt, and say, today we won 50 to the Lord, and we won 80 and 100 and all this kind of stuff. And nobody ever goes back and does anything with those who say they got saved. And next thing you know, you can't find them. They don't know nothing. They wander out into the world. They wander out in everywhere. What happened? I tell you what happened. Listen, when God graciously and greatly saves you, He knows that you're not ready for the war. That's what God does. And He knew Israel was not ready for the war. And you're not. As big and bad and ugly as you think you are, as much knowledge of the Bible and much intellect you have of Scripture, as much memorization that you've got and all the years of influence that you have, Fred, when you just get saved, you're not ready for war. You're not ready tonight for the outside influence. Boy, the Bible says right here in verse 17 that God says, peradventure the people repent when they see outside influences. Man, the people just got out, but they've been in Egypt. God just delivered them. And God said, these people here are not ready for the outside influences. When you get saved, you're not ready for outside influences either. And tonight, we've got to know that, and God will lead you in such ways, if you follow Him, that you can overcome these outside influences. Many times tonight, we find ourselves getting saved and born again and going right back to the friends that we have. And we get saved and born again and go right back into the entertainments that we have and the music that we used to listen to. We go right back into the things and the places that we used to involve ourselves with, and those outside influences, friend, can get all over us and take over us if tonight we don't follow God, because God don't lead you there. Then we also find the contrary forces. That war was contrary forces to Israel. And God said, I'm not going to lead them that way because they might return. Repent there tonight, it means to be sorry or regret or being grieved.
for that they might have come out of Egypt, and now they're grieved because they see that war, and now they get to the place where they're going to repent of that. And the Bible said, God said, those influences from outside, that war, that those forces, those great outside forces, contrary forces, opposing behaviors. You see, I've been saved. I got saved on October 30th. I got to say it again. I said it this morning. I say it again. October 30th, 1988. And when I got saved, friend, it was the greatest day of my entire life. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Some people said I'd get over it. But I haven't got over it. It's fresh and new in my heart, amen. And I'm as excited today as I've ever been about Jesus and His salvation. And friend, I say to you tonight that when I got saved and born again, I didn't know anything that was going to go out there when I went out there. Oh, but when I got saved, my eyes were opened. And I began to understand that there's forces out there that don't like me. And there's behaviors out there that don't want me to succeed as a Christian. Well, I had to determine to follow God. Young Christian, just being saved tonight, you're not ready for war. And if you follow the Lord, He'll help you along the way. Because there's behaviors out there that are not Christ-like, and yes, they say they're Christian. That'd kind of trip you up a little bit. Well, I say to you tonight, not only is this a wisdom that God gives in the way of preparation, we're not ready for war, but we're not ready to battle. We're not ready. See, when you get saved and born again, there's a battle that goes on in the inside. Not on the outside, and there is a war going on the outside, but there's a battle going on in the inside. And when you get saved and born again, you'll find that that battle is inside thoughts. I have people all the time come to me, "Brother Larry, I got this thought, man. It was an awful thought, a wicked thought, an ungodly thought. What do I do?" Well, see, you got to know that God. You got to know that God's going to lead you in that time. He's going to not allow things to come about. So when you got that inside, that thought tonight that's not of God, how do I handle that? What do I do with that? Do I just ignore it? Don't go away. How do I do what I do? You need to know. And God will give it to you. Not on this inside thought or this inward thought tonight, but it was a battle with Him. It's telling us that there are flesh outbursts. I guess none of y'all have trouble with flesh. I guess your flesh is not against the spirit, or your spirit against the flesh. That was just the great Apostle Paul. We're kind of above that tonight. We're in 2017. We don't have troubles like that any longer. That's a lie. How do we handle that? How we handle the flesh, the outbursts of the flesh? You see, as a newborn, again, Christian, just freshly delivered from the world tonight, you got to know you're not ready for battle. But God will lead you along the way. He'll handle those thoughts that you have. He'll handle those outbursts of the flesh. And I'll tell you something else tonight that you're not ready for. Inward struggles. God is taking the children of Israel very lightly. Very patiently, very lovingly, like a father would handle his children. Like a nurse would handle her patients. Like a mother would handle their little ones. We find tonight that within that side, you're not ready for a battle. So God said, "I'm not going to lead you that away. You're not ready for war. I'm not going to lead you that away. You're not ready for the fight." See, Israel was not ready for the fight of faith. They just got saved. They just got delivered. The fight that's within us. You see, tonight there's a war about us, a spiritual war. But then there's a battle within us. But then there's a fight about us. God is so concerned, and God is so understanding, and God is so involved in every one of our lives that just gets saved. That He knows and He has in the way of His wisdom. He knows that we're not ready to fight that faith. He knows we have the faith of testimony. We're not ready. The faith of life, or the fight of life. Friend, I just say to you tonight, I believe that many get saved, really get saved, but because of the battles and the wars and the fights, they turn to aside. But God, if you'd follow God, you'll stay in the path. Now, God's given pastors tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, so that you would mature. If you don't have a pastor tonight, you're not right with God. You say, Brother Larry, I'm moving from a church to another church. Well, if you're a Christian tonight, you'll have a pastor somewhere in your life. Then when you get to another church, you'll have a new pastor. You can't live a Christian life. You can't be right with God without a pastor. That's the leadership of God. Friend, that'll help you with these battles and fights. That'll help you with these wars tonight. That's what God uses. God uses people in your life. God will bring you to people in your life. I tell you something else God leads. He leads through churches tonight. You need a church. You need a church that you can go to and you can be faithful in. A church that you can come to and that you can be taught the Word of God and that you can be challenged in the Word of God and that you can be convicted by the Holy Ghost of God and that you can be part of that church. You can take your spiritual gifts and develop them there. You can give your tithes and offerings. You can meet the needs of missionaries all over the world because that's grace given. And tonight, that's the plan of God. And the heart of God is missions tonight. And friend, if you want to find that after you get saved and born again and you want to follow God in His leadership, you'll find yourself under a pastor in a church with people serving God. Anything less than that, you'll fall off to the side. God said, I'm going to lead my people by this wisdom. I want you to notice, 40 years Israel was in this wilderness. God was preparing them. I wonder how long tonight God has prepared us so that we can be able to be ready for the wars and the battles and the fights. Number two, His way. I want you to notice in verse 18, verse 17 was His wisdom. Verse 18, it says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. See, the Lord did it His way. He went a longer way. He could have went the short way. But listen, man, it was about time for God. And tonight, when you get saved and come out of the deliverance of the world tonight, and you get washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're going to find that God's not in a hurry. Time is nothing with God. What is time with God? He's the beginning. He's the end. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the first. He's the last. Hey, He was there before everybody. He'll be there when everybody's gone. He don't care. There ain't a next day for God. He's the day. Amen. Hey, friend, there's nothing before God. He was God. And I'm just saying, in the beginning, God. He ain't got no time frame. So we find in God's way is a longer way. You say, yeah, I've always said this all my life. I've been saved for a little while now, and I hope to be saved for a little longer, amen? But by the time I get it together, I'm going home. Because it ain't about time with God. So He chooses a longer way. Tell you something else about the Lord and His way. It's the best way. Because the way that He went in verse 18, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, was the most safe way. See, God will always lead you in the safe way. He'll always lead you in the place of safety. God is never going to put you in a place of danger. God's never going to bring you to a place where you're going to be overcome and defeated. God don't do that, amen. He's the one who has wisdom. He's the one who has His way. It's going to be the longer way, but it's going to be the best way, but it's going to be the right way. That's the way God. Hey, friend, if you're living wrong tonight, you're not in the right way. Tonight, if you feel like you've been in the wilderness for a real long time, and tonight you can't seem to get your head above water, it seems like tonight you can't hear from God, and you pray you can't get past the ceiling tonight, it feels like tonight you're beating yourself to death with God, you may just be out of His way. Oh, the children of Israel and their preparation, it took His wisdom. Took His way. Can I say thirdly tonight? I noticed the great salvation and the great preparation, but I noticed the great direction. I noticed that in verse 20 into our text. The Bible says, and they took their journey from Sukkoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. Can I say at this point here, the children of Israel and everyone who's ever born again by the blood of the Lamb, we know that we're indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God that will teach us and lead us in all truth tonight. But friend, we find ourselves in many kinds and many cases with a helpless state. Where do I go? Where do I sue? Who I talk to? Who should I join up with? Hey, there's thousands of congregations. There's hundreds of ways of being saved, they say. There's a tremendous amount of Bibles out there they call Bibles tonight. There's all kinds of doctrines out there. There's all kinds of churches and this and that and the other. Who do I go? Where do I go? How do I get there? I know I'm saved. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. What do I do now? The children of Israel is the same. He said, let them go. All right? Where do I go? What do I do? They're helpless. The children of Israel in verse 20 is helpless. They don't know where to go. They don't even know how to get there. I mean, listen, Fred. They have no man that has the answer in verse 20. They have nothing in their lives that is authoritative to say, do this, do that. God said, just let them go. They let them go. And now they're gone. But what does God do? He said, I'm going to lead you. Boy, he did. And preparing them. Oh, but then the great direction. We find in verse 21 that because of the children of Israel is just clueless when to go, when the Lord went before them. They don't know when to stop. They don't know how far to go. But now, because of God in verse 21, they got some direction now. They know when to go. They know when to stop. And they know how far to go. Every one of us tonight that's a child of God, and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and every one of us tonight who experienced a great salvation, who's been part of God's great preparation, is now part of God's great direction, and we've got no excuse tonight. God will always, always tell us when to go, when to stop, and how long to stay, and how far to go. If we just keep on looking to Him, amen, He will lead us and guide us. Children of Israel tonight, they had God. God led them by the pillar of cloud by the day. Can you imagine that? I mean, they were in Egypt. Now they're out of Egypt. They don't know anything but go. And all they know to do now is just look at a cloud up in the air. Look at that cloud. When the cloud goes, they go. At night, they see a fire. Where the fire's at is where they go. All gone. On and on and on and on. How long you been saved, Brother Robert? How long you been saved? 47 years. You just keep on looking at the cloud in the day. Looking at the fire at night. We don't know nothing else besides that. 47 years, Brother Robert, been saved. And I can promise you, say, all you can do within this life that God gives us is look at the cloud. Look at the fire. That's a safe place right there. Man, that's a good place. That's the place, that's the will of God. That's the wisdom of God. That's the way of God. That's exactly what God wants you to be at. Hey, man, let's not make this thing complicated about this Christian life. Let's not make this thing more than what it really is tonight. Are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Tonight, are you saying, as Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Tonight, are you living your own life, doing your own thing, and being your own person? Or tonight, are you looking for that cloud in the day and that fire in the night? Well, that's the great direction that God gives. Well, tonight we find in looking to the Lord, He made them very hopeful. He made them very useful. He made them very successful. This direction, of course, verse 22 says, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. He never took it away. Never took it away. He never goes away. He cannot be taken away. He will always be there. Jesus Christ is here today, tomorrow, and yesterday. And you'll find today, friend, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You can trust the faithful one. Amen. He will always be. Oh, tonight, the great direction. We'll close tonight with this thought. The great perception. Chapter 14. There in verse 5. The Bible says, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, we have done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us. He made ready his chariot. Took his people with him. He took his 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pharaoh before Baal-zephon. And when the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Can I say to you, in the way of perception tonight, the enemy is coming. When you get out of salvation and God delivers you, you've got an enemy. The enemy has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That lion, that one that Peter was told by Jesus, that he'll sift you as wheat tonight. We have a foe, amen. We got a foe of God, a foe of the church, the foe of the Christian, the foe of the Word of God. We have enemies, and as a Christian who comes out of Egypt, out of the world, and we come under the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Ghost of God and God Himself tonight, we've got to understand and know that in this world in which we live and we came out of, we have now enemies that are coming. Now, we can know that the enemies are there. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the weapons of warfare. Talks about the wiles of the devil. So I'm not talking about anything but what we already know about a spiritual battle. Amen. So we can sit here tonight and be just dumb. There's no such thing as a devil. There's no such thing as an evil spirit. There's no such thing as a spiritual battle. There's nobody, there's nothing out there, principalities, there's nothing of high in high places tonight. There's nothing at all. It's just made up. Casper the Friendly Ghost is about as hard as you're going to get. So we can be naive tonight. Or we can just say it's true. There is an enemy. There is the devil. There is evil spirits. Friend, they're coming after. But this great perception is this. You can look at it in two ways. The first way we're going to look at it is from the eyes of just a new Christian. Just one that's been delivered. One that has just been taken from the world and has come in, because this enemy that they're facing is more equipped than a new Christian. Amen? They're more equipped. The enemy is more equipped than a brand new Christian. He's more experienced, the enemy is, than a new Christian. But also the enemy has more energy than the new Christian. I mean, the new Christian is not walking outside saying, come on, devil. Let's put it on, buddy. I'll just get my water gun, and I'm going to jump over hell, and I'm going to spray on you. I mean, tonight, we're not going out there looking for the devil. We ain't got no energy for that. But the devil and all his energy and all his foes kind of like to trip us up. So they're more equipped, they're more experienced, and they're more energy. So how are we going to look at this thing? Well, number one, look at how they looked at it. First thing they did, they were fearful. Because, see, they were focusing on the enemy. Tonight, as a Christian, you don't focus on the enemy. You focus on Jesus. But when you begin to focus on the enemy like they did in verse 10, the Bible says they lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. See, their eyes were upon the enemy, and that brought fear. And friend, when you look at your enemy tonight, it will always bring fear. But secondly, it brings faithlessness. Because here they cried unto the Lord, not as if they were praying with faith, but they were saying, "Oh, help me." It reminds me of a person who don't go to church, who don't live for God, who might have a little raising when they were young. And all of a sudden, before they get in the car wreck, they say, "Oh, my God." They're not crying out for God to do something in their life. They're just crying out. That's what the children of Israel were doing. They were just crying out. And so what happens when you get your eyes on the enemy, the perception you have is fear. Well, we don't have the spirit of fear, the Bible teaches. But then it's faithlessness. They don't have faith. So when you get your eyes on the enemy, you become unfaithful. You become fearful. You become fainting. Verse 11, the Bible says, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us and to carry us forth out of Egypt?" They became fainting. In other words, they're already, according to verse 11, they're already giving up. They're already saying, "We're defeated." They're already saying, "Listen, we give up so soon." Hey, friend, when you look at the enemy tonight, and friend, you know that God has delivered you and you're saved and born again. And friend, but when you look at the enemies that come in tonight, if you're not careful, you'll get fearful and you'll get to faithless. But then thirdly, you become fainting and you're going to look at him and say, "I'm done. I can't get out of this. He's going to tear me up. You win. I give up. My wife wants to leave me. I lost my job. My bank account, somebody robbed all that I had. I've got cancer." And we just give in and give up because we're looking at the enemy. That's what they did. They looked at all the chariots. Look at all the horsemen, all the captains. They heard all the sounds. They heard it all. They looked up and they looked back and they seen all this big smoke and all these big horses and all these big men and everything. They said, "Oh, man, we're scared." They said, "We came out here to die." God didn't save you that you get overcome by the devil. God didn't deliver you tonight so that you go back in the world. God didn't deliver you, friend, from death and hell and the grave and sin tonight that you return back to it. We find tonight, not only were they fainting, but they have fallen. Look at verse 12. Well, this is an important verse. It says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness." Now follow me for just a moment. How did they get in the wilderness? God led them there. And while God led them there, that tells me that's in the will of God. There's no better place to be than the will of God. And what these people are saying tonight, they're saying, it's better to serve the devil than to die in the will of God. Now, isn't that something tonight? Let's read it again. Let's put it into context. "That we may serve the Egyptians, the world. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Hey, friend, I want to die in the will of God. These people are saying, "Listen, we're falling now because our perception of our enemy has brought us to the place that I would rather serve the devil, serve the world, serve sin, serve hell tonight than to die in the will and the way and the wisdom of God." That's some people thinking, man. When the devil starts breathing down their back and the devil and all his demons and evil spirits tonight begin to work on you, all of a sudden, you just throw everything up in the air. I guess I go back to the world. I guess I go back to the bottle. I guess I go back to and live like I used to live because it seemed like it was easier back then. All you're saying tonight is this: I'd rather die out of the will of God than in the will of God.
Well, but then I'm going to show you another perspective tonight. As we find the Israelites were focused on the enemy. But I noticed that in verse 13, Moses was fixed on the Lord. They were focused on the enemy. But Moses was fixed on the Lord. Verse 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." See, when you get focused on the Lord, and while the enemy's on your trail, hold what you got. Don't give any ground. Hold what you got. Fear ye not. In other words, don't run. Don't flee. It's not time to be an ostrich and put your head in the sand. It's not time to tuck tail and run. It's not time now to say, okay, I guess I'm just going to get out of here. No, hold what you got. Fear not when you got your fix upon Jesus. Secondly, he says, stand still. Heed where you're at. Don't move. Don't change. And don't quit. When you got your eyes on the Lord, there's no place to change. There's no place to move. There's no place to quit. Just stand still right there. Get you fixed on the Lord. And friend, you don't run, you don't flee. You stand, you don't change, you don't move. You don't go anywhere. You look at Jesus. Oh, the enemy is there. The enemy's real. Don't get your focus on him. Get your focus on Jesus. He says, hear how you got here. He said, see the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 13, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Today you see your enemy, but if you keep your eyes on Jesus and you stand still and you fear not, you don't run, you don't flee, you don't move, you don't change, you don't quit, and tomorrow you won't see him anymore. If God be for us, who could be against us tonight? Our God's never lost a battle, and God wants to fight every one of our battles. Our God has never lost an enemy, and we and I will stay still with the Lord. We'll never lose one either. God delivered you out of Egypt. God will deliver you to be overcome, not by Egypt again. God will not allow Egypt to take you over. God will not allow the world to overcome you. Oh, tonight, if you trust in the Lord, He'll make it to come to pass. Your enemies will come, your enemies will go. Oh, but tonight, the Lord, He'll stay. What are we going to do? We're going to fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Wow, what a great salvation. What a great preparation. What a great direction. And what a great protection. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Father, for not just saving us and letting us go and letting us be, but to lead us along the way until we come to heaven and meet you there on the shores of Galilee.